Hello, welcome to EndNotes. My name is Sheila Broderick, and in this programme we invite people to share their funeral playlist and their thoughts about death, dying, ritual and the afterlife if they believe in one. My guest today is Katie Salvage. Born in Bristol, Katie has spent her entire life immersed in music, from studying music at Oxford University to the recording studios of Hollywood, and onto the wilds of West Cork, where she's brought the joys of choral singing to many. She's worked on Oscar-nominated films as an orchestrator and a session musician, working alongside such musicians as Barbra Streisand and John Williams. Her main claim to fame is as a tin whistle soloist on the film Good Will Hunting, where she says she slightly exaggerated her prowess on the instrument to get the gig. After 10 years in Los Angeles, she returned to her hometown of Bristol following the death of her husband, Chad, to cancer, aged 36. 2 years later, she found herself on the shores of Baltimore at the Wooden Boat Festival to greet her brother, who was skippering a historic ship from Bristol. Unfortunately, bad weather prevented him from making the trip. But fortunately, during her wait, she met her partner, Graham, in the Algiers pub whilst playing the fiddle. During the last 10 years in West Cork, Katie has taught piano and violin to many, started up a community choir in Baltimore, and more recently a girls' choir called Cocoon. Her proudest moments have been in the last 10 years, standing in front of her choirs, performing with the Hothouse Flowers and at the Cork International Choral Festival. She's been involved with the Arts for Health in the hospitals of West Cork and West Cork Mental Health Week, running singing workshops. She says she's quite possibly the only choir director who divides her time between living on a wooden sailing boat and a converted horse truck. And now she has just started learning the Irish harp to add to her long list of instruments. She says she hopes she has a fair few more years in her, and I can't agree more, but in case she doesn't, has compiled a comprehensive list of music she'd like played at her funeral, preferably with the choir from New College, Oxford, or the fabulous Exultate Choir from Bristol under the direction of David Ogden, if they're free. You're very welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
That's a very long list of things achieved in a short life. Lots of things left to do. But Katie, your husband Chad died at a very early age. Can you tell me a little bit about what the preparation for his death was like, and were you able to talk about it with him?
Well, Chad died of cancer, a very rare form of lung cancer called mesothelioma that was caused by asbestos exposure. And yeah, he was very young. He was 36 when he died, so diagnosed at 33. And it was a very long, protracted, not a particularly nice way to die. So we did talk about it, but there were always treatments coming up, chemotherapies, that there was always still a bit of hope all the time. We did talk about him dying, and we knew it was inevitable, but still the actual shock of when he stopped breathing was still huge, even though I thought I myself would be better prepared for it. His grandparents certainly spoke to him about dying because they were thrilled with themselves that they had been and seen a plot for him and offered to buy him a lovely plot in Burbank near the Disney studios. And they came over to the house and they said, you know, we found this lovely spot, you'll love it, the view is beautiful. And Chad was kind of like, no, really, don't waste your money, because I'd like to be cremated. And so they were able to talk about it. We did, I think we should have spoken more about it really, and about his wishes afterwards, because I think that's what happens with a lot of people, is when someone dies suddenly you just don't know what they wanted for their funeral. And so we had to come up with something, which we did. We had a beautiful outdoor service overlooking the sea in California.
So when you were planning your own funeral, you obviously specified the things that you want. So could you tell us a little bit about your first choice on your funeral playlist?
Yes, my first piece of music is Veni Sancte Spiritus. It's a Latin setting, which was written, composed by a friend of mine, a composer, George Fenton. And it was for the film Shadowlands, starring Anthony Hopkins and Deborah Winger. And that actually, coincidentally, is about somebody dying of cancer. I didn't actually think about it before, but it's a really beautiful piece of music. It was played at my father's funeral, and it's just a piece that's very close to my family's heart and to me. Veni Sancte Spiritus.
was Vene Sancte Spiritus by George Fenton from the film Shadowlands. That's your first funeral choice. So where would this funeral happen? And
Well, I've been thinking about this. I'm from Bristol, but I haven't lived there really for over 20 years. And I haven't kept in touch with that many people. So I'm a bit worried there might not be many people attending my funeral in Bristol. So maybe I would have it in West Cork, because I've met quite a lot of people. I'm a bit of a chatterbox. Graham says I chat to everybody. So I might have quite a good turnout if I had it in West Cork. So I think I'll go for West Cork at the moment, if this should happen soon.
And we hope not. But had you anticipated that it would be a graveyard burial or a cremation?
No, I'm not religious at all. I would rather just be cremated and my ashes maybe strewn in the sea, like my father's. I wouldn't want to be buried. Don't have any religious beliefs, really. So cremation would be fine.
Tell me a little bit about your dad's funeral service, because that was quite unusual, wasn't it, the way he was buried?
My dad, he wanted a recycled coffin, a cardboard coffin, because he did not want the money wasted. He was a very frugal man, wore all his clothes from charity shops, didn't see the point in wasting money. So we had, we couldn't get a cardboard coffin, he was too heavy apparently, but we had a plywood coffin made, and we just made rope handles for it. And the funeral directors were also very alternative, and they just put the coffin in the back of their old Volvo and drove him to the cremation. And then we had a celebration of his life on the Matthew, which is the boat that my brother skippered in the river in Bristol.
Can you tell me a little bit about the music at your father's funeral? Did you play?
I did. I actually played The Lonesome Boatman on the whistle.
Oh, that's a beautiful song.
Yeah, my father was a great sailor and lover of the sea. So I played that. We actually had Veni Sancti Spiritus and Sibelius' Fifth Symphony, the middle movement from that.
So you've lost two, you know, very close people in your life, your first husband and your father. Do you feel that there's an afterlife or a presence that they might have in your life?
I don't believe in the afterlife, but I certainly feel in the energy of people going on. I feel that a lot, especially with my father, that I feel his energy in certain situations, and I, especially because I live on a Cornish lugger, a boat that my dad would have absolutely loved to have lived on or had a part in, and that was one of his loves, was Cornish boats, and he unfortunately didn't get to meet Graham, but he would love that I'm on the boat now. So that I do think about him, and I feel his energy around me quite a lot.
Great, so let's have your second music choice.
My second piece is a beautiful song by Julie Feeney called Grace.
You gave me grace. You gave me grace. Help me today to feel the grace. Feel the grace.
By the absolutely fabulous Julie Feeney, your second choice, Katie. Obviously, death is very finite. Can you say a little bit maybe about what would scare you most about dying?
I think most all would be suffering if I were to have some terrible, you know, terminal illness. I suppose that's the same with everybody. Nobody wants to suffer during their moments of dying. Most people would like to just go to sleep and not wake up, I think, if that was your choice. So I think that's really all I can say about that. It's just the suffering, not being able to breathe, or the pain.
Can you imagine a world without Katie Salvage?
Oh, that's a difficult one. Yeah, I think so. I actually think we're all forgotten very quickly. I think we think we're far more important than we are actually in life, that we come and we go, and we may live on in people's hearts, but I think we're not quite as important as we think we are.
So if your preference is for a death that you're unaware of, do you think you're always prepared at this time?
I think I'm always prepared. I'd like to think I am. I think I live with no regrets. My father, there's one bit of advice to me which I will always remember and I say to lots of people, is never regret not having done something. That you can look back and think, oh, I was a bit stupid, I probably shouldn't have done that. But don't look back and think, oh, I really wished I'd done that. So I actually feel that I'm ready any time.
And maybe that's because you're living life to the full, do you think?
Maybe. I mean, it's my way of thinking is that, you know, tomorrow is promised to nobody. It doesn't matter who you are, how rich, how young, or how old you are. You know, you might not be here tomorrow, so you've got to make the most of every day and have as good a time as you can.
And so in practical terms, what does that mean? Have you actually made a will?
I haven't, and I do need to, and that is on my list of things to do.
So yes. I'm
not quite prepared. I do need to do that, but I have got my music sorted, and I shall be making sure. I've actually made a list of who I want at the funeral as well, so that everyone doesn't have to have too much work.
So they can all come and disagree about how to distribute what's left behind.
That's right, yeah.
And so your next choice
is it's the Vivaldi Recorder Concerto in C, the first movement. The recorder it was the first instrument I ever learned, and it's been the pinnacle of everything I've done, really. I always come back to it, even though it was the simple thing you learn when you're five at school. It was the start of everything for me, really. And it's an instrument I absolutely adore, and I think this is a beautiful piece. Thank you. actually, I have left an item of mine to somebody. I have a lovely brown leather handbag that I've had for about 25 years that's been coveted by many people. So I have left it to my friend Jane in Bristol, if she's listening. She knows she's the one because a lot of people have asked since and I've said it's already been allocated. So that's going to Jane.
So you are somewhat organised.
Somewhat prepared.
So you're going to leave your handbag to Jane. So how else would you like to be remembered?
I think I would like to be remembered not by many of my possessions. I don't have that many things. The things that matter to me are my musical instruments. I would like to be remembered as somebody who brought a lot of music to a lot of people's lives. To me, that's very important. I'm really thrilled and so lucky that I've been able to do that. So I hope that I have brought joy and happiness to people's lives in music.
And what would you like not to be remembered for?
I'd probably like not to be remembered for a really bad performance I did on a film in Hollywood when I kind of pretended I was really good at the Irish fiddle when I wasn't. And it was so bad that I actually got a phone call from the person who'd organised it saying they weren't very happy with you. And I was it was probably the worst thing that ever happened to me. And so I'm not even going to tell you the name of the film so you can't hear how dreadful it was.
Did the film get released?
It did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with my playing on. So it can't have been that bad, but, you know, I'd rather forget about that.
Okay, well, that is definitely never going to be forgotten. What's your next choice?
My next song is a very upbeat song. I don't want it all to be, you know, sad and slow at my funeral. Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Aretha Franklin. A brilliant song. It's a song that we've done with the Baltimore Singers. It's just a really uplifting song, and it kind of does, I think I do live my life according to that. I hope I do, that there's ain't no mountain high enough. You can do whatever you want to do.
Now if you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far, don't worry, baby, just call out my name, I'll be there in a hurry.
Katie, we've already talked a lot about preparedness for death. But tell me, who will carry out your final wishes when you die?
Well, not hopefully, Graham, because maybe he might have gone before me. I don't know, but Graham, my partner, I do talk to him about it. I repeatedly tell him where my list of people I want at my funeral will be and keep updating it. So hopefully Graham. Yeah, we've been together 10 years and I think he'd be most appropriate and knows my wishes.
And do you know his?
Yes. Yeah, he's not so organised as myself, but he really doesn't mind. Is his whatever you want to do. He would rather be buried at sea because his heart is in the sea and he's a sailor. So he just wants as little fuss as possible.
And have you discussed death and dying, let's say, with other members of your family or siblings or your mum?
I suppose I haven't, actually. And I probably should. Yeah, thank you for telling me that, because I will pass that. I will talk to my sister and my brother about it.
Not only just about your passing, but maybe their own death. And just wondering how much of a topic is it in the household?
It's becoming a bit more so, because my mother is 86 now, and we all know that she won't be here forever. So we do talk about, you know, things afterwards, but not necessarily about her actual death. So it's something that we really should talk about, and we haven't given it enough thought, and that's something that I will talk to her next time I'm home.
So the undertakers haven't been selected yet?
They haven't, although I do joke every time I go to see her, because she does have a habit of feeling very ill and at death's door whenever she sees me. I said, you know, should I make them a call now? Do you think? So we do joke about it quite a lot, but she's very fit and healthy. But, you know, any one of us can go any time. So I think it is only right to be prepared. I think it's not selfish, I don't suppose, because a lot of people don't, but I think it's a good thing to be prepared. So that people don't have to deal with so many things when you die. It's already there. That's what you do. It's not so traumatic for people who you leave behind.
Earlier you were telling me about a funeral service that manufactured coffins from everyday furniture. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, it's a great company called Heaven on Earth. Friends of mine from school started this company that started building furniture that you would live with, and it was maybe a wardrobe, a beautiful wardrobe, and you'd have it painted however you wanted, but it was going to be your coffin, and, you know, kind of place chests or for storing your towels in and things. But all these things were actually potentially coffins, and you just lived with them during your lifetime. You got to enjoy them being around you, so it wasn't this kind of alien thing that, for me, I find quite difficult when you just go and choose a big heavy casket and it's nothing to do with you. It's kind of nothing to do with how your life has been. So I rather like this idea of living with a piece of furniture that you eventually get buried in or burnt.
And also, I suppose there's the idea that you might actually go from the place that you have been living directly into the container that will take you out when you're dead.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's a really, really wonderful and comforting thing, actually.
Mm. Your next song choice?
My next song is by The Smiths. There is a light that never goes out. It's just a really big part of my growing up in the 80s, I suppose, and I know a lot of people who in their teens listened to The Smiths. They were quite depressing at the time, but I love the lyrics in this song. You know, if a double-decker bus kills the both of us, to die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. Just think it's a great song. It's kind of upbeat in the music, but kind of somber in its meaning, but means a lot to me.
Great, let's have it.
Take me out tonight, where there's music and there's people and they're young and alive. Driving in your car, I never, never want to go home, because I haven't got one anymore. Take me out tonight, I want to see people and I want to see life. Driving in your car, oh please don't drop me home, because it's not my home, it's their home, and I'm welcome no more. And
and a strange fear gripped me, and I just couldn't ask. Take me out tonight. Oh, take me anywhere, and I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. Driving in your car, I never, never want to go home, because I haven't got one for long. Oh, I haven't got one.
Chad dying so young at the age of 36. Did he give you any instruction about where he wanted to die, or what would happen during and after his death?
Yes, he very much wanted to die at home, and we made every effort to, and we managed to keep him at home. He really did not want to go into hospital. He was in and out of hospital so much during the last 3 years that was his wish, and it was very hard to do. We had to find a nurse that would come to the house and administer morphine for his pain, but we managed to do that, and he died in bed surrounded by 10 very close friends. So it was exactly as he wished.
And so what happened then, let's say the day of his death, you were all gathered around him, and then he died, and then what happened?
I remember we called the doctor who'd been treating him, his oncologist, who became very close to Chad because Chad was so young to have this type of cancer. And he came round immediately to the house. It was 11:30 on a Friday night. He came round and strangely hugged Chad's body. I remember him actually hugging his body, which at the time we had decided, well, not necessarily myself, but another close friend had decided that he was going to have a form of Kabbalah funeral, which is when you don't touch the body. As soon as the body dies, you wrap the body in a white sheet. But it was not funny, but at the time your Dr. Pirro came in and just clasped Chad to him, which was really lovely. And he actually then told all of us, said that, you know, you might feel that his soul has already left him, which I thought was quite lovely for a medical doctor to be so in kind of tune with things like that. We all went in individually to the room afterwards to sit with Chad, and then the undertakers were called and they took his body from the house.
Okay, and then when was the next time then after that you saw Chad or was in the same room as him?
That was it. He was cremated the next day privately. None of us were there. He was just cremated at the cremation. That was it. We picked up, his brother and I picked up his ashes a week later, and then we held a memorial service. So that was the last time I saw him.
And then what form did the memorial service take?
We had a beautiful service outside. It was in Malibu in California, where I was living. And I played I had a band and a song that I had written while Chad was dying. And it was the only time we ever performed it live, we got to play. It was beautiful. There were dolphins swimming out in the sea. It was a really beautiful service.
And so back to your own service. What is your next song?
My next song is O Magnum Mysterium by Morten Lauritsen. It's an absolutely beautiful choral piece. I'm obviously a lover of choral music. I think there's nothing so pure and affecting as the human voice. This is just a very, very beautiful, spiritual piece of music that can't fail to affect you.
Thank you.
Music is obviously very important to you, Katie, and obviously it was wonderful to be able to play at Chad's funeral. But I hear there's a rumour that you might be even playing at your own funeral.
Well, I'd like to be playing at my own funeral. Obviously not there physically, but my next piece of music will be Goodwill Hunting, the main theme, which I played the solo on in the film. So maybe people will have a little chuckle when they hear me playing, or maybe cry, I don't know, one or the other. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that one in there.
That was Goodwill Hunting by Denny Elfman, featuring Katie Salvage as solo tin whistle player. Well done, Katie.
Thank
there
you.
Won't be a dry eye in the house.
I hope not.
Yeah, it's funny about memorial services. Some people are all for it being a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine for the person who might have died. Mm. But for the people who are left behind, it can be very lonely. And the memorial service, however it happens, really is probably about the people who are left behind.
Mm. Well, no, actually, the funeral playlist, now I come to think of it, is all about me. It's everything that I like. So I haven't really given much thought to the people who I'm leaving behind. So I really hope they stick to my playlist and don't add too many of their own, because I won't be happy. And I think that's a thing. You just want to be at your own funeral, don't you? I just want to know who's there. I want to know who made the effort to come.
But you won't be coming back.
I won't be, if But I just really would love to be looking from somewhere and to see who's there. I think it's just a really interesting concept.
Well, I think certainly the idea of a funeral photographer has to take off. I mean, people have memories of their weddings and their you know, births,
yes,
or naming ceremonies. And actually, funeral photography would be really interesting because the only times when you see people,
yeah,
and you won't remember their names if you don't have the names written underneath the photographs.
Exactly, so, and it's the one time where all the family gets together.
Yeah.
You know, people that you never see. Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. I would like to be at it.
Mm. Well, that's going to be an irresolvable problem.
Maybe. Yes, probably. Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your next song choice.
My next song choice is Absent Friends by The Divine Comedy. It's a great song. It's, the melody and everything, again, is quite uplifting, but it's very sad. Well, it's not sad. You know, here's to them, absent friends. You know, we remember people, remember things about them, their lives, and particularly in this one, Steve McQueen jumped the last one clean. He actually died of mesothelioma, which was the same cancer that Chad had. So I remember playing this a lot after Chad died, and just it's a great one to sing, and there's happy and sad tones to it.
Absent friends, here's to them, and happy days we thought that they would never end. Here's to absent friends, little Jean Seberg seems so full of life, but in those eyes such troubled dreams. Poor little Jean. Woodbine Willie couldn't rest until he'd given every bloke a final smoke before the killing. Great escape he tried to make was not to be. Maybe next time, Steve, like a flu. Oscar Wilde was a lonely child. He fought and won acceptance from the world. They smiled, they laughed, they praised, they drove poor Oscar to his grave.
Absent Friends by The Divine Comedy. Katie, you've been so lucky to have so many talented friends to play with and make great material.
Yes, I have. I was very lucky when I lived in LA to play with some great musicians, one of whom was Warren Zevon. Some people may know him from his big hit, which was Werewolves of London, but he also wrote some other amazing songs and was very friendly with Jackson Browne and Bruce Springsteen, and they thought he was going to be the one who made it, but unfortunately drink and drugs meant that he didn't fulfil his potential. But he did have a comeback, and I was booked to play on his album, which funnily enough was called My Ride Is Here. And shortly after that, he was himself diagnosed with mesothelioma, the same cancer that Chad had, a very rare cancer. So it was a really big coincidence. So I played on a few TV shows with him, and was a lovely, lovely man, an amazing musician. And after he was diagnosed, he made a final album with people like Billy Bob Thornton on it, and Bruce Springsteen. And he wrote a song called Keep Me In Your Heart for a while, which was absolutely beautiful. And following his death, his son, Jordan, who's also a great musician, found a CD in Warren's apartment that I had made him. When he was dying, I made him a compilation CD. And his son found it and called me and said, you know, my dad spoke about you, and I've been asked to play in Las Vegas at a symposium for mesothelioma. It was a big first conference about this cancer. Would you come and play with me? And so I did. I flew into Las Vegas and met his son in a hotel room, and we performed Keep Me In Your Heart by Warren. So it was really, you know, meant an awful lot to me.
Let's have it.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la. When you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile. You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts. Take me to your dreams. Touch me as I'm falling. Headed north to Pleasant Stream. Keep me in your heart for a while. These wheels keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la.
That was Keep Me in Your Heart by Warren Zevon. We're getting close to the end of this show now, Katie. So could you sum up maybe in three words what you would use to describe your own attitude about death and dying?
That's a very hard one. The thing that sprung to mind was resigned. 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 We're all going to die. That's as true as the taxes that we have to pay. I think that's it really. And yeah, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac and I do love Spike Milligan's epitaph, "I told you I was ill."
Thank you so much, Katie. Been listening to Endnotes. We are currently recording interviews for this series. If you have views you would like to share about death, dying, funerals, the afterlife, and would like to share your own funeral playlist, please do get in touch. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Clonline Radio and the web at clonlineradio.com. Thanks for listening, and please tune in again next week. Bye for now.
Doesn't know what you've done. Not a care in the world, not a worry inside. Everything's gonna be alright, 'cause you're the lucky one. You're the lucky one, always having fun. A jack of all trades, a master of none. You look at the world with a smiling eye and laugh. The devil as his train rolls by, give you a song in a one night stand. You'll be looking at a happy man. You're the lucky one. Well, you're blessed, I guess, by never knowing which road you're choosing. To you, the next best thing to playing and winning is playing and losing. You're the lucky one, I know that now. Don't ask you why, when, where, or how. You look at the world through your smiling eye and you laugh, but the devil as his train rolls by. Give you a song and a one-night stand, and you'll be looking at a happy man, 'cause you're the lucky one.